Please be seated. The reading that we heard this morning from the letter of Paul to the Romans says this: I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Hold those words in mind as I then read you the explanation Jesus gives of the sowing of the seeds by the enemy among the seeds sown by the Son of Man. Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field, his disciples ask him. And he answers, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. There is great joy in knowing that we have been redeemed. There is great joy in being able to praise God before His throne. But we would be foolish people if we did not recognize that this is a world filled with suffering, filled with temptation, filled with evil. Both evil which is personified in individuals who would lead us astray or who would harm us, that it is filled with causes of sin which are not necessarily just individuals, although they often arise through individuals, and which would trap us and destroy us and do damage to us. And the challenge, I believe, for each of us is to recognize those causes of sin and those children of the devil, and to keep ourselves to the degree that we are able and through the guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit, free from that infection and from that disease. Now, it's interesting, this parable which Jesus told today, there are a variety of words that Jesus could have chosen for the word weeds. You know, he talks about the enemy. In fact, the enemy in Greek here is a word ekthros, and it refers to someone who is hostile. This word itself is from a Greek root ektho, which means to hate. And so when Jesus talks about the enemy sowing seeds here, the enemy to which he refers is one who hates, who is hostile to the children of God, and who would doom them to destruction if possible, who would poison them. And this enemy sows seeds which spring up overnight and which are weeds when they come about. Now, it's interesting that the word Jesus chose in this parable for weeds. It's not the word for thorns. It's not a word necessarily for a common weed, but it's a word for a weed which looks like wheat. The word in Greek is zanzania, Z-A-Z-A-N-I-A. Sometimes it's called zizany. And this is a common weed in the Mediterranean, which looks very much like wheat, especially when it first begins to come up. And in fact, it's difficult to discriminate between the two when it first starts to grow, and that's why if an enemy came in and sowed seed, as it came up along with the wheat, you really couldn't tell them apart as they first began to grow. And so you have to wait until they begin to produce grain before you can distinguish the zizany from that which is truly wheat. And the way you can tell them apart is as they begin to mature and those grains begin to flower out, the grain of the zizany is black. It's actually a very dark purple. What's interesting about this weed is that its grain is not naturally black. Its grain actually looks very much like the weed, like the wheat. But it is subject to a fungus called ergot, E-R-G-O-T. And it's that fungus which causes that grain to turn black, dark purple, looked black. And that fungus can actually, if it comes in close enough contact, and I think if there's enough moisture, can actually go on to infect the wheat around it. If it's growing close enough to it, it's one way. In fact, one of the things which is interesting about this parable is the slaves come in astonished to the householder, and they say they've seen the plants come up and the weeds appeared as well. Now, this is a normal sort of thing, usually when you sow wheat, that there will be some weeds come up with it. And so it's not the sort of thing that you would expect the people who work in the fields to come into the master and talk to him about, because they expect some weeds to come up along with the wheat. So the fact that they even came in to talk to him implies that there was a whole lot more than they were used to seeing. And so when they asked the master about it, how can this be that there is so much weed, so much zizany, they think, among the wheat, the master says, an enemy came and did this. He sowed seeds intentionally. This is an important thing. Intentional sowing of seed among the wheat by the enemy, who Jesus identifies as the devil. So now they have to wait until it gets closer to the time for the harvest, so they can discern what is zizany and has this fungus on it called ergot, and what is truly wheat. And in fact, if they are sown too close together, the weeds and the wheat, some of that ergot can actually infect some of the wheat. And in fact, the wheat then infected by ergot would also turn black. And at the harvest would also be uprooted, set apart, and then burned. Now, the people who heard this parable knew about ergot. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know at that time that it was a fungus. They actually believed, we think, that the weed which came up had naturally black seeds. But we know today that it was this fungus called ergot. What happens is that very often people would harvest the weeds along with the wheat. They both have grains, and they would actually cook the grain along with the grain of the wheat, of the zizany, along with the grain of the wheat, and produce bread. Sometimes the wheat used to do this was referred to as dirty wheat, and it looked dirty because it had this dark purple or this black fungus in it. Well, this black fungus is poisonous, and it produces several specific effects which Jesus' hearers would have known about, because it was ergotized bread, in other words, wheat cooked, that still had this weed in it. Ergotized bread produced abortions in pregnant women, convulsions in other people. It actually shrinks blood vessels. They didn't know that at the time. But the convulsions that it produces are not only full body convulsions, but also convulsions of the blood vessels, so it could produce a heart attack or a stroke. And it produces hallucinations. Ergot is the base of lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD. It's what LSD is synthesized from. It's also the base of ergotamine, which is used to control migraine headaches. In extremely small doses, it'll shrink the blood vessels in the brain just slightly and eliminate a migraine headache. Now, the people of this time did not know about LSD. They didn't know about ergot or ergotamine or lysergic acid diethylamide. But what they did know was that if you ate ergotized bread, that if you were pregnant, you aborted your child. If you're a healthy adult, you developed convulsions or gangrene, or you hallucinated. And so Jesus specifically chose this as the weed and his example because his hearers would know what he was saying. And what he has said here by analogy is that we live in a world which is not just pure wheat. We live in a world where the devil has sown weeds. We live in a world where the devil has sown weeds that will produce in us spiritual abortions, spiritual convulsions, spiritual gangrene, spiritual hallucinations, where we are tempted, where there are sown among us temptations to lust, temptations to intoxication, temptations to false spirituality, hallucinations. You know, one of the effects of LSD is that the people who take it believe that they are God. It gives a person a sense of being one with the universe and in fact being part of what they describe as the mind of God. This comes from a Hindu concept, which is that God is not a personal God, a creator God who knows each and every one of us by name, but rather God is an impersonal, universal mind, which by meditation, or in many cultures, the taking of hallucinogenic drugs, which are molds or funguses grown, either mescaline, peyote, or molds grown on various grains, that's how we produce hallucinogenic drugs, give us a sense that we have become one with this universal mind. But God is not a universal mind to which we can become joined through meditation or the taking of hallucinogenic drugs. God is a creator God and a personal God who knows every single one of us. He made every single one of us. He knows every one of our names. He knows every one of our sins. And he cares about us. And he cared about us enough to send his only begotten Son here to tell us how we could be reconciled with him, how we could be brought back from our sinfulness into relationship with the one who created us. Now that Son, when he came, did not tell us that simply by accepting him or the sacrifice which he would make for us, that all of our cares and troubles would go away. In fact, he explicitly says in this parable that this suffering is sown among us by the enemy, by the one who is hostile to us, the one who hates us. That's what he says here. You know, when we struggle in life, it's not because God hates us, it's because the devil hates us. It's not because we don't pray enough. It's not because we don't praise enough. It's not because we're not good enough. It's because there's one who hates us and who is hostile to us. That's the word here in Greek for the enemy, ekthros, one who is hostile, one who hates us. But what Jesus did for every one of us is he made us who believe in him righteous. He justified us. He sacrificed for us because there was nothing that we could do on our own. We could not separate the wheat from the weeds. This is not an action which those who are planted in the ground can do. Wheat can't uproot itself and plant itself apart from the evil which surrounds it. This will come at the harvest, Jesus says. But what we can do is we can be kept from the infection of that ergot, which is growing on those weeds. We can be kept free from that. First, by our justification. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He pays the price for us, for our sin. If we accept him, he pays the price for us. And then through a process in life called sanctification, big word, which simply means that we work to conform ourselves to the image of Christ, to learn to love as he loved, to reject and step away from the evil which tempts us, from the trap of the enemy, from all of the ways in which we are tempted to sin. And then he promises that at that harvest, he promises it here in this parable, at that harvest, those who are righteous, that this is the wheat. This doesn't mean we're righteous because we work really hard every day at being good, and we believe that if we work hard enough at being good, we get to go to heaven. That's not what it means at all. This is not the gospel. The gospel is we can't do that on our own. We can't do that on our own. We can't be good enough to earn our way into heaven. What we can do is accept the fact that we have failed and we will fail, and we can accept that one has sacrificed himself for us. And when we accept him and we accept that sacrifice of his justifies us and makes us righteous in the eyes of God. And then we live our lives as we are able and through the grace of the Holy Spirit and the presence of that Holy Spirit in a way which is sanctified and which glorifies God. We'll fail, but he'll bring us back and help us again. But our salvation and our ultimate righteousness is not dependent upon how well we do that, but rather on our acceptance of the sacrifice made for us. And then Jesus says that after the harvest, that we are regarded by God as righteous. And when we come into his presence, the word here for the kingdom of God, the word in Greek is basileia. It actually doesn't refer to a physical kingdom, but rather to the right or the authority to rule. And so it says that we come into the kingdom of God, into his authority, and into his right to rule, and we there are glorified. That is, that we shine like the sun. The word glory, doxa in Greek, implies a shining forth. And it says that those, Jesus says, those who accept him and are justified by his sacrifice and are made righteous in sanctification through their lives, at the harvest will be set apart from all of the evil and causes of evil and the suffering which surround us. And we'll be brought into the kingdom of God where there is no suffering and no pain, and we will shine there like the sun. We will shine there like the sun in His glory. Jesus has drawn sharply the distinction between the children of light and the children of the evil one. May we each make the choice not to be gathered up and tossed into the fire with all of those things which cause abortions and convulsions and gangrene and hallucination, and which are the seed of the evil one. But may we each make the choice to step into the light and accept the sacrifice of that one who came for us and who died for us, that we might live with Him in eternity, in glory, ever praising Him and the one who saved us. In His most precious name.